especially that hour, for revival, revival, revival. And I think we had revival. I've seen results of revival. Revival is not necessarily to see folks saved, but revival is to get those that's already saved all stirred up. And I seen some climb up. I seen some fired up. So that's revival. And as a result of that, they'll go out and get others and bring them in. See some of them here today that came to me and said, man, listen, some of them even brought me their tithe, their back tithe, and said, here's my money. Put it in the church. And others said, bless God, you can depend on me. I'm going to be there. And others said, man, I'm going to start doing something for God. That's revival.
Amen.
Amen. That's a stimulating. So that's what we was praying for. Now, pray that the fire in the church will continue to burn and the church will go out and carry out the commission and win other souls to Christ. All right. Revelation chapter 3. Did you know, if you were to leave this building today, start down the road in your automobile toward your house or the restaurant or wherever you're going, and you begin to have some symptoms of sickness, some maybe severe pain, maybe drawing in your arms or chest pains, and you continued to have those pains, and it was a sign of heart attack, a sign of, somebody told me a long time ago, that hoarseness, continuous hoarseness for a long length of time is a sign of cancer. That's a danger sign. And when we have these symptoms and we have these signs, if we don't go have an examination and find out what the problem is, find that problem, do everything we can through medicine and doctors and whatever we need to do to get something done about the problem, it won't be long until somebody in our family will be signing permission for the attending physician to perform an autopsy to see what killed us. So there are some signs that we need to be aware of. And so it is in our spiritual lives. There are some signs of deadness, some signs of coldness, some signs of drifting. And Jesus said this. Now in my text today, Jesus is talking to a church. Now in the context of this, you will find that he was talking to seven different churches of Asia Minor. But I want to pick out one church today and what Jesus said about it, and then bring a message that God has laid on my heart as a result of what Jesus said. God forbid that the Lord would say about our church what he said about this church. Revelation 3, I want to read the first six verses. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. What a sad description of a church. You ever go down, I'm sure you do, to the funeral home when they receive friends at a death? You ever go in a home where the corpse in state? You ever notice how soft-spoken people are at a time like that? You ever notice how folk put forth a very special effort to be helpful and to be nice and be kind at a time like that? But at the same time, you ever notice how quiet and how people whisper around and how they avoid the word death that Jesus used here? They say, he has succumbed. He has passed on. He has passed away. You see, in reality, what we do is shun away from the word death. We don't like to use the word death. But Jesus here used the word talking to a church. Now, this is a group of people that's supposed to be saved. And the Bible said that the Spirit of the living God will quicken or bring alive your mortal body. And I've always said that anything that don't make a sound, anything that don't move or wiggle or make any sound at all, is dead. And that's a bad situation when things get so quiet that you think they're dead. The most dangerous thing I've ever seen is a snake laying coiled up and never makes a move, and you think he's dead, and if you fool with him, he'll bite you. An old dog laying around that won't even bark or growl or nothing, and you fool around him, he'll bite you. I believe a dead church is a dangerous thing. Jesus said this here, what a sad description of a church. Verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen these things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief and shalt not know. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. For thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now notice it said, to him that overcometh, he'll not blot it out. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, plural. Churches that God has planted here in these different areas, ours particularly in Cannon's Campground. Now, what are the signs of a dead church or a church that's dying? There are some signs that we can look for, just like I said about the physical body. Now, these are the words of Jesus. He's talking to a New Testament church, as I've already said. That's a sad description. I've often wondered what killed this church. Why this church died. I don't know. I've studied and searched books and commentaries and tried to find out what I think could have killed this church. Now, the only thing that I can find out that might have killed it, I don't know if it was the cause of it or not, but it is a sign of a dead church or a church dying. In all of my studies of the church of Sardis that Jesus talked to in verse 1, I find where this church never had any persecution whatsoever. This church never had any attack against it. Never had anybody fighting it. It never had anything, no enemies. It never did make any enemies against it. It had it easy. No one against it. No persecution. I think the surest way for a church to die is to never make anybody mad. You agree with that? Do you really agree with that? Then come alive and say amen. I believe that a church in a community that never fights sin and has any opposition, any persecution, I believe it'll eventually die with the world. I believe any church that you can go to and never get your toes stepped on and never has any standards that'll make you mad, never have anything that you'll disagree with, that church has it easy, never no fusses, never no quarrels, never no disputes, never no opposition nowhere, never nobody out in the community talking about it and finding fault with it, saying I wouldn't go to that church, I wouldn't listen to that preacher. Brother, there's something wrong with the church when you get like that. This church had it easy. Personally, I think that it rocked itself asleep and eventually died in the arms of the devil. Do you know why that is? So many today are carried away in a social ring. Churches have gotten into everything that they've gotten away from the spirituality of it. It's a danger today, even in the Christian schools. We have gotten so involved in education that we have just about forgot about salvation. We've gotten so involved in the supper room that we forgot about the upper room. We've gotten so involved about handshaking that we've forgot about the altar in the church. Brother, listen, when we get away from these things and get too busy in other things, we'll die, and the devil will chloroform us and rock us to sleep. We'll die, never make. And did you know there are some churches you can go to, and if you drink sociably, nobody will ever preach to you about it. They'll condone social drinking. You know, if you want to dance and slide across the dance floor, there's some churches you can go to and feel comfortable in your church, because you'll never get preached to about that. Did you know if you live like hell itself and go out here and cuss on your job, drink a little booze, wink at the other man's wife, flip the coin for the Coca-Cola in the drink machine, and all of these things, you can go and hear about some great football game down in Atlanta at the church and never get stirred up and never get under conviction, and you'll never have any opposition. You'll never have any persecution. And that'll kill the church. Church will die. The message is asking, what killed the church? Let's be honest with God today now in our own personal selves. As I preach this message, I'm not only talking about a church collectively. I'm talking about people individually. You take inventory. You search your soul today. Ask yourself, am I dead? Ask yourself that right now, silently in your own heart. Am I dead? Then answer your question. Are you dead? Yes, God, you sure do act like it sometimes. And sometimes you sure do look like it. Matthew 13:25, Jesus said, while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among them and went his way. Who were these men? These men were Christian men. These men were men that at one time had the power of God in their life. One time was alert. One time was looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to them? They went to sleep. They died sleeping. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:6, why, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Dead churches, dead people, spiritually dead and dry and cold, and no power in their lives. Oh, Lord. Now listen. God said, you can be dead even while you are living. Be living and thinking you're alive and still be dead as a doorknob. I'm sorry to say this, but I've known some churches on fire that was on fire at one time. In fact, I preached some revivals. I'm thinking about two or three right now. I go back to the churches, into some of the churches in the same town, and I'll ask about the church over there on the hill. Hey, what about Emmanuel Church over yonder? What about Cardinal Village Church over yonder? What about this church over yonder, and Calvary Church? And tell them where it's at. Is that church still on fire? Is that church still shouting the victory? Is them folks still waving their hands to Jesus, hollering hallelujah, standing up and praising God? Is souls still running down that aisle, getting in an altar and getting saved? And the saddest words I ever hear is when they drop their head and they're silently for a few moments. And then they'll say, so, preacher, I'm sorry, but that church is no longer a live church. It's dead now. It's not alive anymore. It's got a name of being. It's supposed to be, but it's dead, dead. No altar calls, no revivals, no warm spirit, not got a name of living. What are the signs? Let's let the Holy Ghost take an examination of us today and check us and see where we stand spiritually with God and what's the problem and what are we going to do about it. I think there's many things, but I just want to mention about two or three of them right quick. Number one, churches die, or already dead, or either dying, when there is no burden for souls. I think we have some folks right here at Peace Church, if we went a solid year and never had one soul to walk this aisle for God, nobody saved. We've got some members, and I hate to say this, but I know it's so. We've got some members that would never lose 1 minute sleep over it. We've got some members that wouldn't even go across the road and invite lost people to the house of God. We've got people that don't want to be inconvenienced, that they would offer a ride to somebody else to church. We've got people that won't even knock on a door in their neighborhood and talk to them about Jesus. No wonder our churches are dead. No wonder we're drying up. Brethren, churches are made up of people. If we've got dead people that has no concern, no burden for the souls of man that's going to hell, we're dead or dying. Anywhere, anybody else? No longing, no thirsting, no hungering, no burning passion to see people walk the aisles. I wish to the Lord that we could have the burden that old Paul had on one occasion, that other folk have on other occasions. Let me get personal. Our revival's over. And I think about some of you folks sitting here listening to me today. You're here every Sunday morning, or at least some Sunday mornings. Some of you come one Sunday morning out of a month. Some of you come one, miss three. And I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know what to do to help you. But let me ask you one thing. Do you believe you've got any influence over your lost family? If I was a lost husband, and I had a wife that professed to be a Christian, my church was in a revival all week, and I didn't go to that revival one night, if I was that lost husband, I'd say, bless God, I'm as good as she is. I'd say to myself, bless God, I'll make it just as soon as they will. I wouldn't go to church either if I was a lost husband and had a wife that professed to know God and wouldn't even go to the revival. That indicates to me there's no burden. There's no concern for the souls of your own family that's going to hell. God is dead in here today. Preacher, can you say amen? Can you say amen? Let's see if you can. How about you? Arthur, can you say it? Bob, can you? We have got a few can say it. Man, listen, I'm preaching about deadness. Look like to me that it's bouncing back on me here today. It looks like I'm where I need to be today, preaching what I'm preaching. Amen. I want you to look with me. I wish we could be more like old Paul. When old Paul began to preach, look over in Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 1, 2, and 3. Paul, with a desire in his soul, with compassion on his heart, with longing down in his heart and soul, thinking about lost loved ones. Listen to what he said. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul says, I want you to know I'm telling the truth when I say this. Well, let's see what he's going to say. Why is he wanting us to get the word so bad? Why is Paul telling us, I'm not lying to you, I'm telling you the truth. Look at verse 2. That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why, Paul? What makes you so burdened? Why is your heart so heavy? Why are you trying to tell us this? What is it? Verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, he's not talking about Christian, but he said the flesh. Paul said, I've got brothers, I've got cousins, I've got aunts, I've got uncles. That's lost, that's going to hell. And he said, I have great heaviness. I have great burden in my soul to see them saved. If we had that, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? See strange people in here every day, every Sunday, every time we have sitting beside loved ones that you have lost time off of your job, spent money, took them out to eat, done everything you know to get them in the house of God to get them saved. That'd be the most wonderful thing in the world. Look in the book of Psalms, chapter 126. See what David said. This is a very precious chapter to me. Look down in verse 5 and 6, the last two verses. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Listen, moms, dads, brothers and sisters, bless God, if you'd shed a little more tears around your house over them lost young'uns, you'd have a little more joy in your soul. You'd have a little more victory when you come to church. There'd be a little bit more fire in the churches today if we wouldn't be so dry-eyed. Verse 6 said, he that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You might say, preacher, where is the rejoicing? Where is the praising God in the church? Well, where is the going forth? Where is the weeping? After that's done, that's why we put forth an effort here on Monday night for everybody that loves God and loves souls to go out yonder and try to win them to Christ. And we'll go out there and sit in front of the television set and talk about everything in the world but Jesus. Shame on you. Take the word of God and tell them about Jesus. Tell them about hell. Tell them about heaven. Don't ever be ashamed. You know what? I think many times when we walk up to a door on visitation, we're scared to death. We're hoping that nobody won't be at home. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. And we're wondering what they're going to say about us and what they're going to think about us. Lord, you wouldn't dare say this because you'd be ashamed to say it out loud. But down in your heart, you're hoping, ain't nobody home here today. I hope I don't catch them. But I want you to know, bless God, we've got the message for the lost world. We ought to be proud to hurl the message. We ought to be proud to stand there with the word of God in our hand and look them right in the face and say, we come to talk. Could I have a few minutes of your time? Could I come in? Could I talk to you about your relationship with God? And never be ashamed, but consider ourselves a great ambassador for Christ. Oh, yeah, where there's no burden for souls, the churches die. No going forth, no weeping, no compassion, no concern. That's a sign of a dead church. I remember some time ago, Brother Hugh Edge came out of his Sunday school class when he was teaching, he and Mildred, big tears in his eyes and a smile on his face. He's on cloud nine. He said, I want a little boy to Jesus in my class this morning. Oh, he was about ready to fly away. I said, that's a long time since I heard that going out of the Sunday school classroom. How many of you teachers get in there and really try to win? Well, you don't even know who's lost and who's saved. All you know is a clamoration in there running their mouth. You don't know their relationship with God. You never ask them. You never invite them to your house. You never go to their house. You never talk to them about it. You don't know where they stand for God. There's no concern. There's no compassion. And churches die when we get in that state. Did you know what? Every time that choir sings, they ought to gear their singing and pray for their singing for one purpose. That's to win souls to Jesus. When they pray in that prayer room, that ought to be their main prayer. And back in their assembly before they come out. Brother Jimmy goes back there and lead them, and somebody prays. They ought to pray, oh God, give us souls, give us souls, give us souls. We don't care if there's not but a dozen people out there, Lord, give us souls, give us souls. We don't care if I don't have any money. We don't care if I don't have nice clothes, Lord, give us souls, give us souls. And whenever quartet, whenever youth director, Brother Kenny, every time he gets together, he ought to have a burden on his soul. For anybody in that crowd that's not right with God, these ushers ought to be concerned about souls in this congregation that's not right with God. Where there's no burden, no compassion, no concern, no thirst, no longing for that lost soul, churches die as a result of it. Then number two, when there's no hungry for the word of God. Anybody that don't love to hear God's word preached is either dead are dying. That's right. I don't know what's going on in the vestibule, but y'all give me attention up here. Anybody that don't love to hear God's word preached, there's something wrong. Listen, there's some folks will drive 100 miles to hear Jimmy Swaggart play and sing. And won't even go 5 miles to hear God's preacher preach the word of God. You know, I've always been leery about this bunch that runs around after singings. They ain't no count. Never have been, never will be. I love good gospel singing as much as anybody. But this crowd that'll run around everywhere and follow a group of singers, you mark it down. They'll never amount to much for God, I'll tell you that. There's no substitute for the preached word of God. There never has been. Jesus said he chose the foolishness of the preaching to save the lost. I'm going to say something here, and I don't care if it makes the whole world mad. I've got some personal convictions in my soul that I'll go to my grave with them if I have to stand alone. That fat woman that played that piano for Valley Falls Church, I've preached over there, and she's played the piano. They come over here 2 or 3 times and sang, and she played the piano. Quick as she gets through doing her little thing, out that door she gets in her car and gone. You know how long I'd put up with that? One time. You know how long I'd put up with a Sunday school teacher slipping out the back door after they get through teaching their class? If I know it, a lot of you folks don't let me know a lot of things goes on around here. But if I knowed it, bless God, if you didn't care enough about the word of God to stay to hear the word of God preach, you'd teach one time. You wouldn't teach no more. You got no business trying to teach if you don't love God's word. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why we don't have any faith. I go in a revival 2 or 3 places I've been, and they'll bring in a group of long-haired cave men to sing with their musical instruments. They'll get up and grin and plunk, 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 and tune that thing and plunk, 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 and get up and sing, I love God. I know one crowd was getting ready to load their bus up to go sing North Carolina for the glory of God. But they got in a fight. And one shot the other, and they got a warrant for one another before they ever got out of the state. That's the way they sang for the glory of God. And that crowd sometime where I go, and they'll have them in there to sing, and you know, and quick as I get, they get through singing and they turn it over to me to preach, I see them go out the door. Some of them get on their bus and smoke cigarettes while the preacher preaches. And some of them gets in their automobile and leaves. They've done all they want. I endured them. They don't want to endure me. And I'll tell the pastor when I go back the next time, I say, have you got that group of singers that runs out every time a preacher gets up to preach the word of God? You got them coming? Yeah. I'll say, well, bless God, you cancel me or them one right now. I'm ready to go back to Spartanburg. I don't have to preach to that kind of, I don't have to put up with that. Listen, there's something wrong with people that don't want to hear the word of God. Where there's no thirst, where there's no hungry for the word of God, churches die. Some of you folks don't come on Sunday night to hear the word of God preach, you're dead as a doornail. You know it's the truth. You got no fire about you. You're cold as a cucumber. There ain't much zip to you. Ain't much zing to you. You know the Bible said, Psalms 119 and verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey. Go down to Baskin-Robbins ice cream place this evening. See how many standing in line down there to get that good sweet ice cream. You don't have to beg them to go down there to get it. I don't care how fat they are. I don't care how big their belly is. In fact, you go up to the circle. Some of our church members, somebody told me here just the other day, you can't hardly get them in church to save your life. You can't find them at home. When you do find them, oh, how sick they are, and I have such a hard time. But bless God, you can't never find them at home. And somebody said they passed up the circle the other day and saw them with their big guts out there getting an ice cream cone. They're too sick to go to church. Anybody says they love God, love his word, and and don't love him enough to go to church, I question their salvation. There's something wrong. This is a sign of a dead church. If it's not dead, it will be before long. Being this man told me the other day, he said, oh, I'm a Christian. I said, where you go to church? Well, you can be a Christian without going to church. I said, you won't be a Christian long. Bible says a direct commandment, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Listen, folks, you don't love the church and God's word, you're not saved. The devil has slipped you a counterfeit. And you're not doing anything but making a fool out of yourself trying to make other people believe that. People ain't that ignorant. People know where you stand. You can put on all you want to, but bless God, every once in a while you'd get plugged in. You had the real McCoy. There's some folks that just don't have any faith, don't have any power. They're dead, and because they're dead, they're just getting worse. They get to stinking after a while. You don't bury them. Where there's no hungering desire, a thirst for the word of God. Bible said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Amen. Bible said in St. John 6, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. St. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. St. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Before Jesus' name was Jesus, his name was the Word. He said, he's the bread that if you eat, you'll never hunger anymore. He'll fill your soul and thrill your soul. You'll just partake of it. How many believes what I'm preaching? Number three, where there's no hunger for Christian fellowship. How often do you have the afterglow at your house? How often do you invite people over for fellowship, coffee? I don't care if you do have to clean up that old nasty house. Do you enjoy having Christians? What about when your class gives a social? You go to that? I don't understand people that don't love Christian fellowship. You're supposed to love your brother and love your sister. If you love them, you want to be around them. You don't dodge them and you don't run off. Hey, some of you people right here, quick as we say amen this morning, if I want to see you some. By the way, some of you deacons and superintendents and preachers, you ought not to never leave until everybody else is gone. Amen. But why do you want to run out yard and jump in your car right quick and right and get away from me as soon as you can? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why don't you love fellowship? Some folks make me sick as a buzzard, run into their car just quick as you say amen. You want to see them about something, gone. Some of you park where you make sure you ain't going to get hemmed in. You're afraid somebody's going to have to shake somebody's hand or fellowship with somebody. Every member of the staff of this church ought to hang right around here, around this altar. What if somebody come running in here after the benediction and says, you know what, I changed my mind. I got out of my car. I'm under conviction. I want to get something blessed. God, I couldn't find a deacon or a teacher or a preacher nowhere to help me pray with him. Ain't you ashamed of yourself? There's something wrong with you. That's a dead church. Your church is dying because you're dead. You don't feast and hunger after the good things of God. There's no Christian fellowship among you. Whoopee! No socials, no revivals. How many of you folks ever go to other revivals at other churches? Oh, I know if I was to call you up and say, hey, how about let's go to revival so-and-so. And so you'd hang up and say, okay, yes, sir, preacher. And you'd hang up and say, oh, Lord, the old preacher called me. Wanted me to go to revival. I'm so tired. I work so hard. You know, I don't think. And somebody said, I don't see no sense in going on. You know why you don't see it? The devil, the god of this world, got you blinded. You don't ever go nowhere else. You sit at home and you watch television. You do your own little thing. You have no thirst in your soul for spiritual things. Some of you never go out on your own and visit folks and try to win them to God. And the last point is, the reason churches die is because of the reason right here today. There's no liberty of the Holy Ghost in the services. We quench him. We quench him like we do a fire. And he can't have liberty. He can't have the preeminence. He can't have freedom. Because we're dried up. Nobody grunts. Nobody says amen. Thank God for some of you women folks. There ain't no men that does it. No ring Spurling every once in a while would have a squealing spell for Jesus. Every once in a while Doris have a shouting spell and scream. And I'm going to tell you what's truth. I wish we had 100 in this church like that. And I wish they'd done it every service. If it scares old dignified people to death, let them faint. Well, ask God, we'll haul them back yonder somewhere. Reading, I don't want our church to die because you know it's just a short time that this church has been built and organized. Did you know the name of this church is known all over the country? I go in places I've never been and people say, hey, when we had the state association here, Fred Hersey, it's over the retirement insurance thing. And the fella that's over the foreign mission from up in the eastern part of North Carolina, never been to this church. And them fellas came up to me and they said, Johnny, did you know we've heard of Peace Church in Spartanburg in South Carolina? We've heard of Peace Church. We've heard of what a church it is on fire and what a great church it is. And then when I go off next week, some of them will come up and say, hey, boy, you still have them good services? Does people still praise God? Just this last week in a revival, a choir came here to visit us to sing. And they said what impressed them most was some of the people that said amen and praise the Lord in the church. I wonder now, reckon that was some visitors from some other church? Reckon they were hearing our people? Do you think maybe our church was alive? When I go off next week, I'll be asked that question by a lot of folks. Hey, is Peace Church still a moving church, still a live church? Is it still a going church for a coming Lord? I hope to God somebody will shout today, tonight, or this morning, or sometime, so I can say, yeah. I hope Slim gets happy somehow or another. He's about to dry up, isn't he? He don't shake a leg like he used to. I guess, bless God, we froze him out. You know, if we begin to get dead and cold and dry, all the fire will go out after a while. But I hope to the Lord that somebody in this church keeps praising God, keeps shouting the victory, let the Holy Ghost have his way, so we can say, hallelujah, we've got a live church in Spartanburg. Big James Avery, pastor of the church way up in Kentston, North Carolina. I'd been there in two or three revivals, and I'd get out of the garlic patch, and I'd get over in the clover field, and I'd get back to the pew, and shake a leg, and holler, whoopee. Them folks up there told James Avery, we want you to take a few days off and go to Spartanburg and go to that church and see what them people's got down there. Now that's commendable, folks. That's good. Well, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to let the devil rock us to sleep? Are we going to let the devil kill us spiritually and dry plumb up? Never have any power, never have any amens, any praying God. Did you know you don't have to feel something to say amen? Amen? Amen is only saying yes to the truth. Why are we so dead? No liberty. No freedom for the Holy Ghost. Have his services. Why in this society we're so liberal and modern and ashamed of that? When you read the biography of Billy Sunday, now, he wasn't a holy roly. He wasn't considered a bench jumper. He wasn't considered an alarmist. People flocked to hear him by the thousands and couldn't get there. D.L. Moody was the same. Jonathan Edwards was the same way. When you read about Billy Sunday, the story says that he'd get in a big way of preaching, and he'd hop up on top of this Bible stand. Then it said he'd leap from this Bible stand over on top of the piano and slide and jump down and run down the aisles and preach. And old Jonathan Edwards would preach on hell so hot and run down the aisles. And I went down to hear Dr. Percy Ray at Southside Baptist Church a few years ago. I couldn't understand what he was doing down there. Was that big old dead, cold, dried up place? And that man preaching like he preaches? And I went to hear him. He went down that aisle of blaring. He's preaching on Hebrews 9:27, preaching on death. Death. And he run down that aisle, his eyes blind, the sweat running off of him, his hair hanging down, his coat off. He run down that aisle. He hollered, "Are you afraid? Are you afraid?" And they begin to faint like flies. Boy, I'm serious. He likes to jeer them to death. Why don't we get back to the old landmark? Why have our churches died? Why are we so dry and so dead? And so cold, why don't we come alive? Now here's some signs for our spiritual examination. Let me repeat what I said in the introduction of this message. When the signs are there, if we don't seek attention, medical attention, go to somebody that's an authority, find out what the signs are, let them diagnose the case, take the prescription that they give, say the symptoms is this, and the symptoms is that. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to prescribe this for you. You have a sign of so-and-so. We'd take that medicine. We'd do what they say. Want to get better. Now, if we don't take it, won't be long till the coroner or somebody will be having an autopsy performed on us to see what killed us. Now, I've given you the signs today. You can either accept it, or you can reject it. But some of you folks, in closing, I want the musicians to come on now. Brother Jimmy, come. Some of you folks that are spiritually dead and you're just as condemned to go to hell as if you was already there. The Bible said, "He that liveth in sin and in pleasure is dead in trespasses in sin." You are spiritually dead. Physically, you're moving around. You're driving a car. You're walking around. But spiritually, you're dead as you can be. And one day soon, if you die in that shape, you'll go into hell. And you'll think about what I preached today. That soul that's in your bosom right now is the most valuable thing that you'll ever possess in your life. It doesn't matter what your wealth may be. It doesn't matter what you may own. What your name is worth. That soul in your bosom is the most precious, valuable thing that you'll ever possess. And Jesus said, if you gain this whole world and lose your soul, what would you give in exchange? What would it profit a man if you lose your soul? I went to the bedside of a man in 70-something years of age. In the middle of the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock, his son called me and said, "My dad's dying and he's calling for you. You please come." I got up and dressed and made my way to the hospital in the wee hours of the morning. I walked in that room. I saw a pale face, wrinkled face, gray hairs. And I saw tears flow down his face. He said, "Preacher, I've wasted my life." He said, "I've never had time for God or the church. I've been too busy for the most important thing in my life." He said, "I don't want to go to hell." He said, "I know there's a soul in my bosom that's going to live somewhere forever." He said, "I don't want to go to hell. Can you help me?" Will you help me, preacher? What can I do? Thank God for people that realizes the importance of knowing Jesus. That man almost went to hell. He almost waited too late. He could have been killed in an automobile accident suddenly. He could have had a cerebral hemorrhage. He could have had a severe heart attack and went out. Meet God, his mind could have snapped. Could have had a stroke, but God was merciful and let him die a natural death so the preacher could get there. That might not happen to you. If you strike out today, if you miss today, there may not be another chance. This may be your last opportunity. Do something about it. Let's stand together and say,